We're going to see in our sermon this morning about a church that what they did outside of their building. Just remember, as even the song indicated, that the church is not this building right here. It's us. Okay, we are the church. We're El Dorado Missionary Baptist Church. If you would, please take your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, and continue our series of the Acts of the First Church. This morning we're going to see where Peter freed from prison. Peter freed from prison. I'll allow you to remain seated this morning as we read all of Acts chapter 12. Begin reading verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four... I always have trouble saying this one. Hang on just a minute. Quaternarians, okay? Of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on my sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate which leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Help me to preach, Lord, what you have me to preach. May it be your words and not my words, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd help your Holy Spirit to have free reign the rest of our service. that we may worship you in spirit and truth. May those who are lost be saved this morning. May those who are saved in a backslidden condition get their lives right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now last week we discussed the remainder of chapter 11 where the church of Antioch began. Today, as we continue on in the Acts of the First Church, we will see where Peter was freed from prison. And we'll see where the story kind of goes back to Peter and see some pretty sad and at the same time awesome events. Now, in our passage that we read here this morning, we have two James mentioned in this passage. The first is James, the brother of John. And the second James is James, the brother of Jesus. And we'll discuss that here in just a little bit. My first point this morning is Peter was arrested. Peter was arrested. We see that in verses 1 through 5. Dr. James Floyd wrote, "The phrase about that time refers to the time that Saul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem to deliver the relief fund to the poor saints of the church in Jerusalem from the previous chapter. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was connected to and followed the Passover. This Herod, who was the grandson of Herod the Great, was Herod Agrippa I. He zealously courted the Jews. He coveted popularity with the people. He possessed considerable charm and was more acceptable than most that were sent by the Roman government to govern the people." In other words, Herod was just as corrupt and evil as his predecessors. Okay? His father, the son of Herod the Great, was just as corrupt as Herod the Great. And Herod the Great was the most corrupt of them all. And the most evil of them all. The pattern has not changed. And their seek for political greatness, they tried to, what we describe as court the Jews. They were not Jewish. I think one of them may have been a half-Jew, but still, in the midst of all that, the people didn't like the Herods. They hated them. And they can, Herod Agrippa I here can probably thank his grandfather for that bad taste in their mouth. Right? I've told you the story about when Herod the Great was near the end of his life. He had arrested several of the priests. And that, of course, made the people even more mad at him. Of course, he was already pretty much gone crazy at this point. And so he knew the people didn't like him. So he ordered that when he died, to have all those priests killed, because at least the tears shed for them would be at the time of his death as well. But when he died, his wife, I don't remember her name, had all the priests freed, and so all the people rejoiced when he died instead of crying. But back to King Agrippa I, the one mentioned here in Acts chapter 12, since he craved power and popularity, he sought whatever was necessary to fuel that desire. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit of politics this morning. I don't like doing that, but let's just be honest now. Not every politician is corrupt. Not every politician is right with the Lord either. All right? But most politics, you have to win people's hearts pretty much in order to win their vote in our society. Well, back during those days, the people didn't really vote. They didn't have a say in the matter, especially in Israel. But a good leader will know that if you want to rule well, you've got to have the people have to like you. Well, they didn't like Herod, any of the Herods. So he wanted to get popular with the people. He also wanted to gain more power too with the Roman government. So he was willing to do whatever it took to fuel that desire. Herod saw an easy way to gain favor with his Jewish subjects by persecuting the churches in Jerusalem and Judea. Christians seemed to Herod to be a defenseless group toward whom he could levy persecution without suffering any backlash. James, a brother of John, was also the son of Zebedee. This was also, by the way, one of the 12 apostles, one of those 12 that were with Jesus. James, at this time, may have been the pastor of the church at Jerusalem at the time of his persecution. He died at the command of Herod for the cause of Christ. Now, James was the first church member killed since Stephen that is recorded in the Bible. All right? Now, there were several that had been killed, but this is one of the first ones that we have actual name and about who he was mentioned. Please turn to Psalm 116 and verse 15. Psalm 116 and 15, the Bible declares to us, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, Herod, my goodness, what a way to blow to the church. Not only did he kill someone, which is bad enough as it is, but he killed a prominent member of the church and possible pastor of the church. Yeah. But Herod didn't know God. Anything about God. Well, he may know a little bit, but not much. Listen, not that I wish for anybody that's of the Lord to be killed. I do know that if you know the Lord's your personal Savior, yes, the act of being killed is horrendous, but you get the victory. And the Lord knows that. And that's why it's precious in His eyes when those who are killed for the Lord. Now, going back to Herod here, the action of Herod was a commentary on the Jews as much as it was on Herod. Okay? In other words, the Jews had a part in this too. The vindictive satisfaction of the Jews to know that a follower of Jesus had died depicted the course of a Christ-rejecting life. The nation had been moving in a shipwrecked direction for almost 3 decades. As Herod charted his course for the favorable winds of Jews, he aspired to do more damage to the churches in the area. With James dead, he set his attention on Peter. Arresting Peter with the intent to have him killed would be the act to further the Jews' approval and raise his popularity with them. Since it was a holy time for the Jews, remember this is after the Passover in the days of unleavened bread, Herod would please the Jews during their holy days. He was a very corrupt and evil politician. Let me tell you, go back just a few years to Jesus and when he was on trial and then crucified. If you've studied that, that was also during about the same time, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, holy days. Well, the Jews couldn't kill on their days, but the Roman government could. Remember? And we see where Herod and Pilate, the governor of the territory there, who were at once enemies, became friends that day. Because not only did Jesus, who was hated of the Jews, was killed because they hated him, but it was during their holy time where they couldn't do it, but we really want him gone. Well, Herod here is the same way. He's like, you know what? James being killed, they really liked that. Well, if they liked that, I'm going to get Peter. He was a very prominent church member too, one of the ones that had been closest to Jesus and the most vocal out of all of them. We're going to kill him during one of the holy days. Oh, the Jews are like that, and yes, they did. But the problem here is that the Jews have been on a spiraling down course for years, further and further away from God and His Word. They were just as corrupt as the Roman government was corrupt. But now Herod had found the fuel source to feed his power and influence over the people. Don't think for a moment that modern-day politicians won't flock to something corrupt if they believe it will improve the people's approval rating with them. Boy, I never heard so much in this last go-around our presidential election. Now, I'm just going to say it because it's the truth. All right? It's the truth. Public knowledge. The Democrat running candidate, Hillary Clinton, at one point in time in her political career, said that abortion was wrong, same-sex marriage was wrong, and all of a sudden in the presidential election, she says, well, abortion is okay. She said that same-sex marriage is okay. Why'd she flip-flop? Because she thought it would improve her approval ratings. Well, it did with the corrupt people, absolutely. All right? Don't think that for a moment that politicians won't flock to something that's very corrupt, that God says is wrong, if they think people will say, oh, well, I'll vote for that candidate. Listen, we don't need politicians like that. We really don't. Now, you may not like our current president, but that's okay. You don't have to like him, but you do not need to respect his office. The Bible teaches very plainly for us to respect those in power. All that being said, I may not agree with everything President Trump does, but at least he has stand on the fact that he's against same-sex marriage. He is against abortion. Now, all of that being said, Herod was just like a lot of these other guys that are in politics. He's like, oh man, they're really going to like me now. I murdered James, we're going to murder Peter too. And the people liked it. So, Peter was arrested and was awaiting execution after Easter. Now, we see here the word quaternion. Got it right that time. Quaternion, which means a group of four. Four quaternions were a group of 16 soldiers. Now, likely they took shifts with each taking a six-hour shift of a 24-hour day. Peter was a man of action, so counting the days until his death was not an easy time for him. Now, Easter is the Greek word for Passover, and this is the first time we see it in the Bible, which is why that sometimes Passover falls on what we celebrate as Easter, but it's close to the same days, and our calendar is a little bit different from the Jewish calendar, but that's where that word came from. Now, let's go to the church in Jerusalem now. Much prayer was being made for Peter by the church while he was in prison. The church knew that the Lord could do something about the imprisonment of Peter. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. And verse 26. Matthew 19 and verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. They knew this teaching from Jesus. And you know what? What I love about this? They knew that this was the best thing and the best things that they could do. Please turn to James chapter 5 and verse 16. James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. My friends, if the very least you can do is pray for somebody, sometimes that's the most you can do. Now, I believe in putting feet to your prayers, but y'all, there's things we can't do, but God can do anything that He wants to do. And if we pray for God's will to be done, Him to do that, He can do that. That church was on their knees praying all night for Peter. And they weren't even in church service. Did y'all know that? They weren't meeting in the building. They weren't all gathered together in the same place praying. Probably could have been. But they'd gathered at someone's house. And only the whole church of Jerusalem was there, just a few of them. They were praying all night for Peter. Well, The Lord heard the prayers. But God was also not done with Peter either. Wasn't done with him. So my next point this morning is Peter went AWOL. He was arrested, now he went AWOL. Verse 6 through 11. I'm beginning where I like to alliterate a little bit. Yeah, noticed. I thought, AWOL, that's a good one. Those of you who have been in the military or are in the military, AWOL is a military term that means absent without leave. Away from military duties without permission, but without the intention of deserting. Peter was not in the military, and Peter did leave with the intention of never coming back. All right? But he went missing from the prison. Peter was spending the night in prison, waiting for his soon execution within the next few hours. He was bound by chains between two Roman guards. On top of that, there were more Roman guards posted at the entrance to the prison. Now, y'all think about this just for a minute. Peter, normal guy like you and I, they've got him in a prison cell, and he is chained, more than likely in his hands, it could have been his feet too. You know, one side's a Roman guard, another side's a Roman guard. He's chained to those two guys. On top of those two guys, there's other wards or wardens, sentries, posted at the entrance to there too. Now y'all think about this just for a minute. How in the world could Peter even get out if he were just bound and chained to the floor or at least in a prison cell? Well, maybe there wasn't things for him to be bound to. Maybe there was no prison door gate at that particular prison. Or maybe they were just worried that he might disappear like Jesus disappeared. Or maybe they were afraid that the church might just try to come and attack and free old Peter. But you know what? As far as we know, in the Bible and history, the church of Jerusalem and other churches never did anything like that. What they were doing was letting God fight the battle for them. They were on their knees. They were fighting. They were fighting. They were on their knees, praying to God. Lord, deliver Peter from that place. Deliver him from death. Help him, Lord, as best as you can and all the way you know how, Lord. Peter, was he scared? No. Do you know how we know Peter wasn't scared? Because he was asleep. He was asleep between those two soldiers. Now some said, well, you're going to die anyway. You might as well enjoy one good more night's rest of sleep, you know. I don't think I could have slept too well. Peter wasn't worried. He knew that if he died or if he lived, God gets the glory. He had that peace in his heart. I'm going to tell you, that peace only God can give you such rest and ease of mind and ease of heart. God sent an angel to deliver Peter out of prison. What I love about this is the Lord is always on time, never late for any occasion in the life of the saint, as he was for Peter. The Bible says that the angel smote Peter, meaning that the angel struck Peter's side with a gentle touch, but hard enough to awaken him. Now, some people have to have a little encouragement to get up when they're asleep. Some people, it just gets on my nerves. Some of you can sleep this hard. You know who you are. That alarm clock can be going, bam, 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 bam. And I'm like, shut the thing off, please. Never forget, when I was in seminary, one of my roommates, he was that way. That alarm clock went, and we'd hear it the whole morning while we were getting ready. He was just snoring in the bed. Finally, one morning I'd had enough because it was on my last nerve. I went in there, He was a snoring, drool coming out of his mouth. I turned off and I said, "What?" I said, "Now you're awake." "What?" I said, "You got 5 minutes to get to class." "Oh, I better get up then." Maybe Peter was out of sleep and he had to, you know, "Come on, wake up, Peter." But really and truly, smote just means he touched him hard enough to wake him up. That's all it means. Okay? Now, what about those guards? Well, the time of the angelic prison scene was probably between the hours of 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. because of the watch that was there. The angel told Peter to rise quickly. Peter did not question the angel. He obeyed. Peter had seen the hand of God at work before. Some people say, "Well, what about those prison guards? You know, at least the ones that were chained to Peter." Let me tell you, God can do anything that He wants. We have seen already today where God said that with God, nothing's impossible. He could have kept those prisoners asleep. I mean, those guards asleep. And any other prisoner in the jail asleep, unaware of what was going on. Just remember that God works outside of time and space. Time has no relevance to Him. He could have done it and be wide awake and they'd never known it. Okay? But God chose this particular time to prove that He is God. And He's all powerful. He can do anything He wants. You try to stop the spread of the gospel, it's not going to work. When Peter got up, the chains, the Bible says, fell off from his hands. The Greek words "fell off" mean to fall from place. It suggests the chains unlocked and remained in their places where Peter had been. The chains would have been released from Peter, but not from the guards. Can you just imagine being one of those guards? Waking up, there's a chain on your foot or on your leg, I mean your arm, excuse me, and there's a chain on your buddies, but there's nothing in between. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. Well, then the angel instructed Peter to gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Well, back during those days, the men wore a girdle around the undergarment, a sash tied around the waist. Peter was to tighten his girdle around his waist in preparation for leaving. We see this a few other times in the Bible as well. In other words, we'll put this on South Arkansas language. Everything the angel told him, he said, "Put your clothes on, boy. Get your belt on and your shoes on because you ain't coming back." And Peter did this without question. Peter escaped but didn't even realize it until later. Peter thought it might be a vision. Even though he had had visions before this account, Peter walked out of the prison, passing by the two wards, and on to the iron gate. Now, y'all, that iron gate back then, it was much stronger than what we build nowadays. The lock on an iron gate silently slid open, and the gate opened before him. No one had attempted to stop him by word or deed. Peter passed through, as the Bible says, or passed some distance from the prison on one street, and the angel left Peter alone. When Peter finally came to his senses, he realized it was real. He realized, I'm actually out of the prison. I didn't dream this. There wasn't a vision. I didn't go into a trance. This actually happened. And then he praised the Lord and gave God the glory. I think I would have too. Thank you, Lord. You've delivered me out of Herod's hands. Well, my next point this morning, Peter was aided. Peter was aided. Verse 12 to 17. After Peter realized what happened and gave God the credit, he quickly realized he needed to get off the streets. Now, y'all think about this. He's now a escaped prisoner. It's still nighttime. And he's like, you know what? I better get off the streets. Where are you going to go? He knew a place where he would be safe. A home of some devoted church members. Now, I like that. We need to be able to not rely on God, but rely on each other. We need to be in the business of helping our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ when they're in some of their darkest hours. And Peter was, even though he'd been freed from prison. But Peter went on dummy. He's like, okay, I need to get off the streets there. So he goes to this house. When he arrived, there were many other church members praying the home for Peter. Now, number one, notice that this is still the wee hours of the morning. As I like to put it, number two, church members were praying fervently at stupid o'clock in the morning. Okay? Most people are not even up in then. The chickens aren't even up. But they were there in the home praying for Peter. Thirdly, when was the last time you or I have prayed so hard for someone of our church? You think about that. You say, well, we don't have any life or death situations going on that I know of. True. But y'all, look at the intent of the praying they were doing for just one church member. Just one. You see, Brother Daniel, I have to get down on my knees and pray all night long? No, you don't have to do that. They didn't have to do it either. They chose to do it so that they would. That shows how much they cared about Peter and wanted to help Peter. Y'all, I believe in prayer, but I believe we need to do some more fervent praying, specific to our prayers with God and really intently praying for people. Now, did Peter know that they would be praying? Probably not. But what a great discovery it was. A girl named Rhoda came to the door as Peter knocked. By the way, Rhoda is a Greek name for Rose. So Rose came to the door. She was probably wondering who was knocking at that time of the night or the morning. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I get a knock on my door at the wee hours of the morning or a call, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What's wrong? Somebody's in the hospital, somebody has died, somebody is dying. Something's not right. All right? Now that works in pretty much any culture. So, she's getting toward the entrance to the home. Apparently, Peter was also speaking to anyone who came to the door as he knocked. Hey, open up, let me in. In her excitement, because she recognized Peter's voice, she failed to open the door and went back to the house to everyone that Peter was at the gate. I can just see all of this happening. It makes for a good comedy here, okay? The man is a fugitive. Hey, let me in. Oh, that's Peter. Oh, goes over here. The door rose. The door rose. She comes back and tells everybody about it. Everyone thought she'd gone crazy. Yeah, sure, Rhoda. Peter's at the door. How crazy do you think we are? Some would say they doubted the Lord, but they were also human. Okay? They were convinced the person who stood at the gate was a messenger sent from Peter. That's what that means. It says, it is his angel. That means it was a messenger sent from Peter. We say, well, why would some people say that they doubted the Lord? Because they'd been all on their knees all night long praying for Peter. And now he's here and said, well, it can't be Peter. Well, you know what? They were also human. But I would suspect that most of us would have been something like this. Surprised. God's not surprised, but we're surprised and we are really amazed and thankful when God hears and answers our prayers. Peter began to persist at the gate. Hello? Anybody in there? please let me in. Peter was probably feeling a little pressure of getting caught at this point. And they finally opened the door to discover it really was Peter. And they became amazed at what the Lord had done. Turn to Matthew 7 and verse 7. Matthew 7, 7. Jesus says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Peter told them to calm down as he explained what happened. They were so overjoyed to see the fruits of their faith. It's Peter. He's really here. God has intervened. God has delivered Peter. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Then Peter told them to go and explain everything to James, who is the brother of Jesus, who had now become the new pastor of the church at Jerusalem. My last point this morning is Peter was avenged. Peter was avenged. Verses 18 to 25. Well, didn't take long for word to get out of the prison that Peter had somehow escaped on the soldiers' watch. I love how the Bible words it. There was no small stir. I love that. It's like there was no small stir concerning that in the morning. In other words, it was a big deal. A huge deal. The soldiers were in panic mode. Why were they in panic mode? Because they knew their lives were at stake. That's the deal with the Roman soldier. Them guys were some tough dudes now. They were taught to kill women and children, old and young. Didn't care. And go to sleep that night with no remorse. But if they failed in their duties, they would be killed. And sometimes even their families would die because of their failure. Oh, yes, you'd be in panic mode. They were up and down all that prison trying to find Peter, trying to figure out what happened. Well, guess who else who wasn't happy? Oh, Herod. He wasn't happy at all. Herod sent for Peter. Peter wasn't there. After questioning the soldiers, Herod had them all killed. Well, Herod then left Jerusalem and went to his other palace in Caesarea. He was mad, probably pouting, sulking. Why? Because he had just lost another gain of political influence over the Jews. And for whatever reason, he didn't like Tyre and Sidon, which is above Israel in Lebanon. And Caesarea was the main port for Palestine, and those two cities were part of the trade. He cut them off from all the supplies coming out of Caesarea. Well, more than likely, he was taking out his political frustration in a place he didn't like to begin with. So to gain peace, the leaders of these cities desired an audience with Herod. So they were friends with the chamberlain, which is a guy who takes care of the bedchamber for a king. His name was Blastus. And they probably bribed him. And someone like that would have had Herod's ear and said, hey, you know, there's these leaders from Tyre and Sidon. They want to come and humble themselves before you to get it right with their cities. And they want to speak to you. Well, they want to come grovel. Then let them come grovel then. Herod granted them the audience, and then he dressed in all his royal apparel and gave them a great speech. He was making sure they knew to whom they addressed. I'm the king. I'm the one who has the power to say yes or no, that you get all your food that you need. I mean, he just didn't come out in his normal everyday clothes. He dressed up in everything that was royal that was about him. And then gave him this grand speech that he thought was grand. So probably to gain favor, these leaders said they were hearing the voice of a God when Herod was speaking. Now, whether they really liked his speech or not, they knew that he had the power to get their food back to their cities. So, yes, O Herod, you are like a god. We hear the voice of a god when you speak. And knowing Herod's ego, well, of course you do. God didn't like that. God never does. Herod didn't give God the glory. So God killed him immediately by being eaten of worms. Which, by the way, doesn't normally happen until after you die. Now, I'm not going to debate how fast Herod died, but one thing I do know is that the worms that ate him is the worms that killed him. Normally, the worms eat you after you die. Some you're going, that's absolutely disgusting. Absolutely. It was also a very painful way to die, too. It was also to show for all those people that had gathered there were worshiping Herod, oh boy, he's not as great as we thought he was. No, of course not. And as a result of all these things, guess what? The Word of God grew. Now, y'all, it was a sad thing that happened to James, the brother of John. But because of that, and because Peter getting freed from prison, the Word of God grew. And then all that old wicked Herod, that king, when he died because God killed him, woo, don't you believe the Word of God grew even more? Do you remember back when we just studied about Saul, when he was persecuting the churches, and when he got saved? It says the churches were at rest, and the Word of God grew. I bet you they were on rest here at that moment as well. Then we see where Saul and Barnabas left Jerusalem, taking John Mark with them back to Antioch and those churches that were north there of Israel. Now, y'all, all these things we've talked about today, there might come a day in the near future where I or some of you are killed or put in prison for the name of Jesus. And whereas our hearts may be hurt by that, and we want to pray for each other, and we need to do that, absolutely. But rejoice in knowing that in the end, God gets the victory. God gets the glory. And if we're saved, we get the victory too. The whole point is pray for each other, please. And I appreciate your prayers for me. Sometimes when I'm down the dumps, I feel lifted and I know that someone's been praying for me. Thank you. Thank you so much. But pray for each other too. We all need your prayers. Some of you are facing some pretty serious tests that are coming up. You need our prayers. And I'm going to make a promise to you that I'm going to pray for you this week. For those who have these tests coming up, those who have other troubles in your life, have peace in knowing that not only is the Lord with you, that you've got a church that loves you, is praying for you. Let us be a church that is on our knees, fighting the way we're supposed to. And you, when there's a brother or sister here that needs help, go to them and help them. I love that we have a church that lives by that. I have seen that. Now, we have our faults and shortcomings, but I can tell you from my own personal experience that this church is very quick to help those in need. And I love that. I love that. Not every church is like that. But as a result, let's make sure that the Word of God is spreading. The Word of God is spreading not just in our church, not just in our homes, but in our community as well. How is the Lord dealing with your heart today? Do you have a burden on your heart that you need to take to the Lord? Well, by all means, take it to Him. You know that there's a brother or sister in Christ in this church that needs our prayers. You need to pray for them. I hope you've been listening this morning to what the Word of God has said and what the Lord has been saying to your heart and what you need to do. Don't turn the Holy Spirit away. Follow Him wherever He'll lead you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word today. Thank You so much for this great, great example that was left by the church in Jerusalem and Peter. Lord, I pray very heavily this morning, Lord, for those in our church who have some upcoming tests and test results. And Lord, they may be worried about what's to come, and we don't know. Sometimes not even the doctors know, even they have the test results, but we know that You know. We pray, Lord, that You would just ease their minds and ease their hearts, give them peace. And Lord, if it be Your will, just heal them, Lord. So when the doctors say, we don't know what happened, we can say, yes, we know what happened, is that God took care of it. But Lord, if it's something that's going to be kind of iffy and kind of burdensome and hard in the next little while to come, we pray, Lord, that You would give them strength to endure that. But most importantly, that You would get the glory and honor from their lives. They would praise You. Lord, for those who are here this morning who are hurting for whatever things are going on in their life, and they've got these great burdens upon their heart. Maybe it's for somebody. Maybe it's for just some stress in their life. Lord, uplift them to You. Lord, that You'd help them, encourage them, give them peace, relieve them of some of their burden and even their stress as well. Lord, I pray especially for those who might be lost this morning. Lord, I don't pray any kind of comfort for them at all. In fact, I pray the opposite, that they would be absolutely miserable. They would be just absolutely horrified in knowing that they don't know You as their personal Savior. And Lord, I pray that You would convict their hearts accordingly, that they might realize not only the need for Your salvation, but actually believe and trust in You. And Lord, for those who are saved and they know they're not living their lives right for You, Lord, but they use whatever kind of excuse it is. Lord, I pray that they would quit putting it off and they get their lives right with You today. Begin anew and be the child of God You'd have them to be. Bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. What shall we sing, Brother Mike?